This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello everybody and welcome along to another Sky Blues Extra podcast brought to you by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. Dean back in charge of the buttons this week, and alongside me, well, I'm delighted to say after a lengthy rock, paper, scissors battle between the two Rosses to see who would feature this week, it's the man who doesn't shut up, Ross Spence, who's come out on top. How are you, fella?
Yes, mate. All good on the Rambler Ross. I think you should start
rambling
to call me
Ross
now, mate. Yeah, I think what you should do for this pod, mate, is I'll just mute myself and you just talk to yourself for the whole time.
Well, I am a little bit worried because it's been a while, so you've probably got a lot to get off your chest.
No, to be honest, mate, I'm actually okay, and I think Ross Cooper's a little bit gutted that he lost at Rock Paper Scissors. I think he had a bit of an OS sulk, you know, and he just kind of marched off a little bit like, oh, he's on a good reign of form at the minute. Everyone's on his side. And then I've just come in a bit like Hadji and just took the rock and did it a bit sort of subdued, mate. So, yeah, hopefully me and Ross can make amends.
There wasn't much emotion, I thought, when the winner of the Rock Paper Scissors got the penalty. I'd be like smiling and rubbing his head and stuff, you know, take the piss a little bit more.
I think it was more the fact they were both, once it had happened, I think Hadji was kind of thinking, right, I've actually got to go and put this away now because we are losing the game 1-0. And if he'd have missed, I think it could have been one of those days for us. But as soon as it hit the net, it was almost like that sheer relief, wasn't it? Of, right, we're back to square one now, and now we can really turn it up a notch and see what we can do. And luckily we did, so...
I wouldn't like the fact that Robbins is after me. I can imagine like tomorrow it traded.
Yeah.
Just like you'd be hiding away in the corner.
He's either brought it up after the game or he's left it today and he's going to speak to him about it tomorrow, isn't he? Because I listened to it on Sky Sports when I got back in and he said, I'm going to kill him.
I can imagine the group chat's probably popping off right now.
Yeah, definitely. They're all saying,
keep your head down, lads.
They're definitely having banter about it because he scored, but it's one of them where luckily we've put it in the net and I doubt we're going to see a game of rock, paper, scissors on a Coventry football pitch ever again after today. So
you think so? I'm all for it. I'm actually like, I like the
confusion, isn't it?
I like the confidence of the lads. Let's do it more often. Like, let's do it for a goal kick. Who's going to take this goal kick?
Collins, Thomas, Latty.
Exactly. Who knows? There's loads of stuff you could do.
Start getting a game of rock, paper, scissors. Even throw-ins, mate.
Let's not put it in the bin.
Yeah.
Too hastily.
Not completely.
It's worked today. Let's see if it works elsewhere. Action-packed show this week. We've got two games, obviously, to look back on, as well as a quick look ahead to Plymouth. I'm also absolutely delighted, after it going really well the first week, the feature that's taken the world by storm, Ross, Coventry or Coventry, it's back.
I know, mate.
You bet you're buzzing.
I know, mate. we are one of those fan bases that we get very fixated by things, don't we? You notice that it's very like once something kind of hits with us, we're very like it's constant. Like, you know, for example, in the summer with the whole transfers and tracking flights, like that's something that now every transfer that seems to ever be linked with Cov, you just know, like come the summer next year, it'll be happening again and people will do it. One of those fan bases, aren't we? Once we get onto something, we're very like clingy onto it. The same with some of our players, I think, as well.
I wouldn't necessarily say this feature's doing the same as that at the moment. You know, give it time though, right?
We'll give it a bit of time.
Let it bed in.
We'll let it bed in and have its time, and then we'll come back to it another time.
God, let's look back at the Sheffield Wednesday game. It feels like the 45th time or so we've played Sheffield Wednesday this season. Obviously, this time in the cup replay Tuesday night, a big win, Ross. Big win, and now the opportunity to go on a bit more of a cup run. You know what lies ahead of us in Maidstone.
Yeah,
in a couple of weeks, the potential there now, you know, is massive. You know, we could feasibly be the only Championship team left in the competition if we get through that tie with Maidstone.
Yes, mate, we could be quarter finalists of the FA Cup. You know, we could if we win our obviously next two in the league, and we then get to that game and win that, we could be in the playoff places come sort of mid to end February and in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Now, if you'd have looked back at what September time, October, when it was all, we've got a team full of YouTubers and all this kind of stuff that we were hearing throughout sort of that period of time, it was, if you'd have told us that we'd have been in this position back then, I think a lot of people would have said you're deluded, wouldn't they? So to potentially be sat where we could be in a position of being in the playoffs and in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup, mate, is pretty special, really. I know we've obviously spent a little bit of money and stuff this year, but we're not, as David Wagner, and I'll quote, we're not the sexiest of football clubs, are we? So in terms of your leads and people who are up there that people would expect to probably get to that latter round. Because I think Sheffield United did last year, didn't they? I'm sure when they were...
Yeah, they did well,
They got to the semis, didn't
but
they?
It, but it allows massively. You to build confidence to take that into the league as well. Massively. I think people overlook that massively. Like massively. We've gone on a huge run over the past 2 months or so.
Big
as
time.
Part of that, you know, were cup games. And that's a continuation of the good form we've shown. It just shows, it breeds confidence. I think Clive says this quite a bit, and Oggy on CWR, is that good cup runs can mean a lot, not just to the players, but to the club as well. You look at the prize money. The prize money, it's a huge money spinner for the club. You know,
if we get another day out at Wembley, we
could be there three times this year. I'm not sure the bank account's going to enjoy that, but you know what I mean? Yeah,
it would. But like you said, if we got there three times, even twice, you know, even if we got to the semi-final and then got to the playoff final, could you imagine that? We are pretty much the other team in Sky Blue, along with Man City at that point, who are the frequent contenders of Wembley, aren't we? I worked it out, we'd have been there about five times in Robin's 7 years, or six times, I think it is, something like that, which is astonishing, isn't it, really?
It's like a second home pitch. Yeah. I mean, we've moaned in the past for, you know, being taken out of the city, but, you know, we shouldn't be moaning if we're taking out the city to play at Wembley. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Like, we are talking sort of dreamland stuff here if we can get to that stage. But we have got a job to do. And like everyone keeps saying, you've got to pay Maidstone respect. They're
100%,
they're in the hat for a reason. They did Ipswich, whether people say, well, Ipswich hit the bar 3 million times in that game and just couldn't score a goal. That's the look, and that's what people love the FA Cup for, is for those type of moments. And they took their moment, and they are 100% going to be coming to us wanting to make an even better and even bigger, sorry, moment than they did in the last round, which is getting to a quarter final of someone of their stature. And for the, like you said, the payment for us, we talk about, could you imagine the payment for them as a football club as getting to that stage? So
keeps them alive, basically, for a number of years. You know, you've just mentioned about the Ipswich, you know, depending on how many shots and stuff, makes a mockery of the stat I absolutely hate, expected goals.
It means 1,000,000%.
Fuck all, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can expect everything in life, But it's what you do, right?
If I expected to win the lottery every time I'd put it on, I'd have won billions by
exactly.
now.
Exactly. I expect to date Margot Robbie one day. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, now you are clutching, Dean. Now you are clutching, mate.
Hey, David Wagner said, weren't very sexy football. Never said anything about the people who support
yeah, he never
the club,
said. He
right?
never said that we weren't sexy in commentary. Yeah, he just said the club as a whole isn't
exactly.
sexy.
Yeah, yeah. Cheers. Yeah, that was, you know, a real confidence boost for me.
That
really.
Was a, that was a proper big, big one to the ego for you there, mate, weren't it?
let's look back at the game. Couple of opportunities, obviously, during the game. Very bitty, though, wasn't it, that first half? And I think, from a Cov perspective, I think we just gave them too much room to try play, gave them way too many opportunities. And, you know, it got them back into the game very quickly after taking the lead.
Yeah, well, as people like to rightly point out about me, I'm not one to shy away on my opinions and talking. So you can only imagine when I'm sort of sat
as you say on Twitter, you know, as yeah. you said on Twitter,
yeah,
you know, as Sky Blue Pete,
yeah,
alluded
you know,
to that,
yeah, you know, and apparently from what he got referenced to, it must be that I only take it from Twitter. I must not say these things in person, mates. You know, I'm a bit of one of them.
You take your opinions
media.
From elsewhere.
Yeah,
elsewhere,
just
yeah.
kind of just get them and drag them on. Copy and paste job, mate. That's what my Twitter is, unfortunately. but I said it, and I've said it numerous times this season. We don't play badly. If you ever watch us play, people will go, oh, I'm, you know, the old typical Cov fans. They're getting up out of their seats and, oh, Hadji's this and blah, blah. We don't ever play badly. We just start really passively and slow. It's just not quick enough. Like, you'll watch us and you'll think, come on, like, where's the urgency in the passing? You know, that extra, instead of looking to then turn back, say, getting on the half turn and then playing a forward pass into your number 10 or out wide, it's that extra, oh, we'll turn and pass it backwards. And then before you know it, it's back with Brad Collins. The other team are pressing us and then we're in trouble
again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that seems to be what we do as a team at times. It's never that we play horrifically and we look bad. We just basically, we're the own skeptics of our own downfall, so to speak, with in terms of we just let teams come at us by how we play. But once we turn it up that notch, you can see what a good football team we are. And we've done it to so many teams in this period. And
well, we have the ability just to blow teams away, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that 8 minutes in the second half showed it.
Ridiculous.
We showed it at QPR early in the season, Millwall as well,
oh,
away
yeah.
from home. We just have that ability to switch it on at one point, and one brings two and two brings three.
We
sometimes.
Are. I actually said we've gone from being a team that are the master of late goals to the master of quick turnaround goals. So once we get one, we score one another 2 or 3 minutes later.
It changes the mood completely.
Yeah,
yeah,
massively. And we're like a momentum team. As soon as we get that one, it's like, boom, right, we just come to life. The crowd come to life and the players are like, right, another one now. It's just that, like you said, you can tell you've got a good team when you start to do stuff like that. And I'm sorry, mate, they were absolutely dreadful. I mean, I know they put out academy players, but they are, in my words, absolutely honking. Like, I just watched them and I just thought in the first half, how are we allowing them to get into this game?
I watched them on Friday night versus Birmingham and I thought, yeah. This is...
I mean, if Birmingham could score, it would have been about 4-0 before they'd even score
yeah.
a goal.
It was honestly, that was one of the worst games of football I've seen this season.
Oh,
and,
mate,
and they come
horrific.
Out and they come out on top, which shows you yeah. how bad Birmingham are as well. So, you know, they are a really, really bad side. And I think Hadji Wright's comments, you know, pre-match comments going into the game today against Millwall, really says a lot. You know, teams struggle to focus on us because we don't have a single focal point going forward.
Yeah, whereas when we used to have that, didn't we, last
yeah,
season?
Yeah, it was always to
Gyökeres,
right?
Gyökeres.
It's very difficult to deal with. And I think you saw in this game, Palmer and O'Hare sort of took it to the next level. They just didn't
yeah,
know who to mark.
Oh, it was
and
that.
When one was marked, the other one was free and the ball was going to them. And that was where we were causing them issues.
So that eight minute spell, mate, was just ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
It was literally like, it was the equivalent of watching a top championship team to almost like a League Two team. Just like the way the passing was so crisp and so everything was with intent, and you knew, like, even to then Hadji's fourth goal, when it was just pass, 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 Eccles 1-2 with De Silva. De Silva ran at his man, little jinx, absolutely beautiful ball into the box by him, and then Hadji's beat his man and got that lovely proper first header.
That's
that
incredibly simple, Ross, as well. If you look at it, look at how the goal is built and how he scored, it's incredibly simple.
It's just
it's
what
effective.
We're talking about, wasn't it? In terms
just
of
just being effective.
Yeah, it was the intent with the passing, which we didn't have in the first half. We just, I say, we go from gear one to gear two and to gear three. And once we go into those higher gears and we pick up the pace, we are a hard team to play against in this division. And you listen to managers that say they don't just call us a good team for no reason. People don't just come out and go, oh, you know, they're a good team with good players just for the sake of it. They're saying it because that's what we are. We are a good team with good players now. And we need to realise that they're not always, yes, they're not going to be like Leicester and people who play consistently good every week, but we've got to stick behind them in the moments that they're not playing as well. Because once we do get behind them, they can turn it up that notch. Look what they're capable of. We blew a team away within the space of about 8 minutes of football. Like, you're not a good team if you can't do something like that, in my opinion, you know. And we did it. I know, obviously, people go, oh, they've got academy players, blah, blah, blah. But
you can only beat what's in front of you.
Yeah, and even so, we've beat them numerous times. We've beat them twice already this season anyway, and we've been much better than them with their best players out. So, for me, it didn't really make much difference, and it just showed the quality that we do have, mate, to be honest. So, I was impressed with it overall, and especially in that second half as well. It was a good little confidence booster, I think, for us moving forwards as well.
There was only one sort of downbeat note, wasn't it, with Jamie Allen and his injury. obviously, 6 weeks now with a couple of titanium plates in his cheek.
Yeah,
Sean just... Bernard with a horrifically late challenge. He knew what he was doing. It's pure shithouse. And obviously, he got angry, didn't he? Because they were losing the game.
Yeah.
And he threw his toys out the pram.
Big time. It's
pathetic.
I said to my dad at 4-1, when they started to make a few challenges, I said, they're going to injure one of our players today. I said, I can already see it with what they're doing on challenges and how they're being. I said, they're literally now at the point where 4-1 game over, could get to 5 or 6. So every time, bang, just try and nail someone just for the sake of it. And I knew it was going to come. And I seen him elbow Allen in the face. I thought, hopefully it's not a serious. Hopefully he's just caught him and it's a bit like an owl. And then obviously after the game, you find that out. You see the footage. And I just think the EFL and the FA are so quick to ban Kitchen against
them. Do you know
what,
Ross? Keep it in the locker, because as part of my Coventry, you might be talking about the EFL. So keep hold of them thoughts for now, right?
I'm going to keep hold of them because you know what I'm going to say. But yeah, it's just so frustrating, mate, when something, because we've already lost Sheaf and now we've lost Allen to something that we didn't need to lose Allen for. Nothing happened. Like, it wasn't that he turned and he's hurt his ankle or it's a 50-50. Someone has literally just point blank come in and elbowed him for no reason. So now we lose him for 6 weeks, and people might go, oh, it's only 6 weeks, but we're at the crucial stage of the season now.
It's the quantity that we're losing in midfield, 15, not the quality. I don't care about the quality. Yeah. It's the quantity, because
we've
got so
many
games.
But we go from Jamie Allen
right
to Brad Stretton now, potentially. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's the. I know, obviously, we'll probably play Lattie in there before that, but we are now thinner than what we should be because of that injury, and it's from nothing, mate. And it's just so frustrating from our point of view, because we've now gone, oh, we've got our full strength team back. So now you've got Sheaf out for probably 6, pushing on 8 weeks, and then obviously Allen out for 6 weeks. So yeah, that was the only downer, mate, but there's nothing we can do. But yeah, we've got the torpedo, should we call him, who I saw him in his first game and I thought, interesting. And then he came on against Bristol City and I knew in that game, I turned around and I said, this guy is very, very tidy. Yeah. The way he plays in spaces, gets on the half turn, knows where his teammates are, the way he actually talks. If you watch him on the pitch as well, he's a big communicator. And I don't know if many people have picked it up. For someone who's new in a team, the way he demands the ball and talks to his teammates around him, I think he's probably took Robbins and Vivash by surprise at how much he slotted in so quickly. But I think losing Sheaf and Allen will only actually probably
help
benefit Torp in my eyes, because I don't think he'd have played as much if those two were fit. So
you actually find that a lot with Scandinavian players, that they take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah.
They try to not force it, but like be forceful in their impact of a game. You see it quite a bit with Scandinavian players. It must just be some kind of personality trait, really. But you're absolutely right. The communication and stuff is so vital, and you can see it 100%. I've noticed it as well. Yes, you're not alone in that.
And he's got what, 16 games maybe in FA Cup run to, and playoffs to, so let's say 20
games. 16
games,
an FA Cup quarterfinal, semi-final and final.
Yeah, and then
plenty of games to come.
Yeah, so he's got all that time plus a pre-season by next season before we can actually really judge him as a footballer in terms of the length of time that he's been here. Because most of the players that we've sort of judged have been with us from what, July, August, until we started to judge them mid-November, December time. So you're talking, and a lot of them had pre-season and stuff. So for me, the way he's slotted in and actually is playing, even though he probably will make the odd mistake and stuff, just think of how much better he's going to be next year once he's gelled in even more and had a pre-season. And
I'll be honest, the thought of him and Ben Chief in midfield is getting me hard. I won't lie, it's getting me there. You know, I'm nearly there.
Right,
there's not much to look at.
Wagner didn't call you sexy, mate. He said we're not sexy.
Would be sexy if you saw that. That's for sure. Right, let's end this Sheffield Wednesday chat with a man of the match.
Ooh, this is actually quite a tricky one in that, because there was some good players, but I was stuck between two, and I'll mention them both, but I'm going to give it to Eccles, because I thought Eccles was actually very good on against Wednesday. I thought the way he commanded, he almost took command of the midfield a bit with Torp. I think now he knows Sheaf isn't there. He knows he's got a good player next to him, but he knows the system a lot better at the minute than Torp does, so to speak, and knows how we play. So he's almost thought, right, I've got to sort of take a bit of a command on this now and sort of stamp my role within the team. So I'm going to give it to Eccles, but I could have potentially give it to De Silva as well, because I thought he started slowly, but then he built into the game really. And then that cross for Hadji was just like, please put more balls in the box like that for us more often. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you clearly have quality, mate, because you can just get it out your foot with two touches and whip across in like that on someone's head. And we're 4-1 up. So I was torn between the two, but I just felt, because Eccles did it for a longer period, I just think he probably deserved it a little bit more. But De Silva was a close second for me, definitely.
Right, fresh in the memory from only a couple of hours ago. Millwall were in town, the Naughty Boys. Actually, I'm surprised you're here. I thought I'd have to put up some bail money to get you out of Nick.
What I did today, mate, was I wore the Stony, but what I did was I put the big Canada Goose puffer jacket on.
Oh, you know, of course
to cover my traps a little bit, mate. I didn't really want them sussing out where I was, you know, sat in the block 29 behind the goal, mate. Yeah, it gets a bit rowdy over there sometimes. You've got to be a bit careful.
How bad was their turnout, by the way? I mean, that was woeful.
I said to someone next to me today, actually, I know obviously it was a 12 o'clock on a Sunday and they've been shafted, etc. And it is a bit annoying, because realistically, no one wanted to be up there at that time today. In reality, we'd have rather it been yesterday at 3 o'clock, so we could have had people could have done their plans around it and it'd been a normal time. But we'd have definitely still took a couple of thousand up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? And I think they were lucky to probably have 1,000 if. At that,
it was 960 today? That I saw.
Like,
there.
That's still a poor attendance for them. But I know they're
not well supported. I know they're still a well supported club. Depending on regardless of where they are on the table, they are, you know, generally a supported club in London. So
and like you said, it is insane. And London isn't far. Do you know what I mean? They could have got a train down. They could have done anything, really. It's not like they're restricted. It's not like they're coming from Plymouth, for example, or somewhere like that. You know, it's London's. You can get a train really from Cobb to London in about an hour. Do you know what I mean? So it was a bit dire, to be honest. I expected more of them to come, but it just shows obviously a lot of them couldn't really be arsed considering where they are in
much
the league,
prefer
probably.
To watch it on Sky in the pub.
Pretty obviously. Much, yeah.
There's only one change to the Sky Blues lineup from Wednesday night, and that was in goal. Now, I can understand the sentiment in, you know, keeping the nucleus of that side together after, you know, what was a good second half performance, but there was a couple of glaring omissions for me on the bench, and I struggle to see how we don't recall Thomas and Bidwell into that back line. I know De Silva had a good game. I'm not as comfortable with Latibodio in a back four as I am if he was to play in a back five. So I was a little concerned looking at that. What was your thoughts on seeing that lineup today?
I was surprised. I tweeted that I was surprised because when it came out, I did think that Thomas would be him. I thought he might go Thomas and Latty. I didn't think Binks would play. I thought he'd take Binks out and I thought he'd play Latty and Thomas. And then I thought he'd go Eccles, Thorpe. And then I thought he'd bring in potentially rest one of Palmer or O'Hare. And I thought he'd bring Hadji on the left with Sims or Godden down the middle. So to have the exact same team, bar the goalie, was a bit of a surprise. But obviously, we went with it. And I did kind of think, like, Millwall are a big team. I know they've got Obafemi up front, who's quite small, but they've got that bloke at the back. Is it Jake Cooper? He's an absolute monster.
Especially at set pieces. And it's a critical part to the way Millwall play is to massively, try and, you know, bombard boxes basically as much as they can. So, yeah, I was very concerned. I said in the group chat, didn't I, that I had Mark Robbins got confused if it was Plymouth today and Millwall on Wednesday. With the personnel, you'd switch it around for those games. But yeah, defence for me recently, it's been a cause of concern. Like, I think we've been shipping silly, silly goals.
Yeah, we have.
And I feel like we need to find a little bit of consistency, you know, both in personnel and performance there. And I think the non-negotiable in that for me would be is that if the first four choice back line are available, you play them. Yeah. You know, good teams are built on solid foundations. And I understand, obviously, Kitchen is still out. But replacing just one rather than replacing three players, that screams problems to me.
Yeah, and it's...
You look at teams over in history, regardless of how many games they play, the back four hardly ever changes. Yeah.
I agree. And to be honest with you, I said today, I think that's probably now for the rest of the season, the last time that I want to see the back four tinkered with as much as it was today. I think we need to be pretty set in stone. Obviously, right back is pretty much a guaranteed in your goalie with Milan and Collins, but it has to be Kitchen and Thomas as the solid two. I think you could clearly see in the second half, Latty is so much better in that midfield position for us. He's so dominant in there and good.
Unless it's a five, he has to play somewhere else than the back line.
if you can play him in a five, or if Milan gets injured or you want to play be a bit more defensive at right back, potentially he can play there and he does an okay
He'd
job.
Do a job, yeah.
Yeah, but I think centre back is probably the last position for Latty in our team, especially now we are a back four team. Binks, I just think he's too raw at the moment. I think he's okay. He doesn't do much wrong. I just don't think for how he plays quick enough at the moment.
I think the last couple of games he's really struggled, and today he struggled as well.
He's a bit passive, isn't he?
Yeah, when he was brought into the side when Kitchen was banned for three games, I think he did Swansea. A really, really good job. But then this time around, when he's deputised, he just really hasn't hit that same height.
Yeah,
and I thought today he did show that there's plenty of flaws in his game.
Definitely.
He really struggles to play that killer pass, which is so important in the way we play.
Yeah,
and when I say killer pass, I don't mean like the big through ball to the striker. I mean the killer pass through the lines, really.
Yeah, which is
Thomas
Kitchen's
showed
it. Very good at that.
Kitchen's
as well,
good at it, and Thomas today to get us, you know, 2-1
yeah,
ahead.
You can see
the ball
how good
to
they
O'Hare.
Are. Yeah, you can see the difference. Like Latty is good at it. In midfield, I think he's not as good at it coming out from defence, but he also is quite good at playing those. I'd say Binks' passing is probably the worst out of the four that we've got in terms of if he was to do that pass that Thomas did, you'd probably say Thomas and Kitchen would do that 7-8 times out of 10 and get it right. Binks, you're probably looking 4 at a push, 5. So over half of your attempts, which for how we play in the position we're in is not good enough. And you can see it's always the easy option with Binks as well. I've noticed that there's never any progressive look for a pass often. It's always just into the midfield to either Eccles or Torp or across the back line to De Silva out on the left or Latty into the, say, next to him today. It's always the safe option, and when you play like that, it just becomes too slow and easy for teams to juggle around you and get into positions, and then eventually force you back. So instead of coming this way, you start to then gradually start to slide backwards because of the momentum of the other team and the positions that you're picking up. And I,
I'm really surprised because when we saw highlight packages of Binks, he had this passer, wasn't he? He had this crossfield pass.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not the way we've sort of set the team up that he can't do that, but I just
expected him to be a bit more crisper with his passing.
Yeah, just a little bit. But maybe he does have it and he's basically told not to show it or, you know, play a different way. I don't know.
Maybe it does come down to he doesn't play that much as well, you know.
There is that, the confidence of being able to do that.
He's not a frequent starter in the team. Like, I'm not hammering him. I think he is someone that I would buy and sort of nurture into.
Oh, 100%. I think he's got some really good raw attributes that definitely need moulding, like you said.
I just don't think this season he is a regular starter for where we want to be, unfortunately. And that's what... We are at the stage now, like you said, where we do not want to be changing now. Once Kitchen is back after today, we want to be seeing Wednesday at Plymouth that same back four with Kitchen, Thomas, Milan, and either De Silva or Bidwell. Really, that's the only position that you could argue that you change, including Collins as well, to be honest, is the left back. You either play De Silva or Bidwell. That's the only position that I would ever go, oh, okay, I understand why Robbins has done that. Bar that, I wouldn't want to see a change. I think Latty then only plays if you take out Eccles, for example, and play him next to Torp and vice versa, or potentially if Milan needs to come off and you put him at right back. But it's pretty nailed on in that area of the pitch for me, mate. And I think today clarified that for me, yourself and other COF fans probably watching as well, that it doesn't need to be changed and we need to keep it the same really moving forward for these last 15 games or so to get where we want to be.
What do you think about Hadji's chance first half? I mean, he's got to score, hasn't he? He's like...
Yeah, he does have to score, but I was so confused because where I sit in 29 behind the goal, when he hit it, it looked like he hit it at the player, which then made it hit off the post. But then everyone was saying to me, no, he hit it, it hit the post, hit the player, and then hit the post again. So I was like, okay, if it's that, it's a bad miss. But if it was a case of that it just hit the player, that is a little bit unlucky. But he does ultimately in that position have to just stick that in the net. I'll be honest, I was surprised Sakamoto didn't get a better strike on it than what he did, because I thought the ball in from Milan was a really clever ball.
It was a great move.
Yeah, really great little low drive into the box. It had that end product that you're looking for. When it fouled to Tats, I just thought pretty much what he did against Bristol City, where he's just going to strike it, and we were going to go 1-0 up early on in the game. But it fouled to Hadji, and you thought, this surely got to go in, and somehow it didn't hit the back of the net. But
mate, he is our Darwin Nunez, right? 100%. Like, he does some absolute batshit things during the game, right?
Yeah, he does.
This is tap-ins like this, I would say. But any moment, like, he can just switch and change the game, like, dramatically.
I like him, though. I've always liked him as well. I think as well today, until next season, when we get another out-and-out winger on the left-hand side,
he has to play there.
He has to play on the left because he doesn't have the... He doesn't have the service. We don't get enough balls in the box for a player of his calibre or we're in positions that we need. Like Palmer off the left is not when you want to have Hadji up front, because Hadji wants balls in the channels and in behind, but Palmer comes inside. So instantly, you lose that left and they just double up on De Silva technically at that point. So then you've got no outlet on the left. Tats and Milan are being marked on the right. So then it becomes very like claustrophobic, so to speak, in the middle of the pitch. And then people are either just lumping a ball up to him, and then when he doesn't control it, oh, Hadji, you're this, do you know what I mean? It's not going mad. But you can instantly see once he moves out to the left, the difference. And I'm not going to blow my own trumpet here, but I called those changes before and said that's what I wanted him to do. I said Latty into midfield, Thomas on the right, Hadji out on the left, Sims up front. I said, if we do that, I think we've got a good chance of getting a draw from this game. So we then went on to win it.
When you see Hadji rock up with his hair and a braid, getting moved to the left hand side. I mean, with that trim, you knew the game was up for Millwall.
Looked at him and they thought, Oh no, here we go again.
100%. No one would be able to cope with that.
Yeah.
The number nine role, it just seems just really incumbent at the moment. Like, we just don't need anybody there.
It's not if been we nailed the, honestly, on all season, has but if it,
we,
realistically?
Yeah, but do we play to a number nine strengths? I don't think we do. I don't think we have to.
I think so, every team seems to say it about us, and on Sky Sports, everywhere, we are just in and around the box type of team. We get into good areas, intricate passes, and then we find a way through and we get a shot off. We're not a get it out wide, cross it into your target.
We need a false nine. We need a false nine. And if we had the personnel, I'd play Palmer there.
Yeah.
I just don't think we've got enough cover elsewhere on the wings that we kind of need Palmer to cover that.
Yeah, because he's so physical, isn't he?
I would just play him there. And just use that link play.
And Sims on Wednesday, going back to that game, when he played off the right, I think it was, or the left, I can't remember which one he come on, he actually looked good out on the wing when he got the ball.
Yeah, well, he did earlier in the season a little bit as well.
All of our strikers, so to speak, they go out wide and they look...
Don't want to play on them.
We got Matty Godden.
Oh, God, yeah. That's all we need. Honestly, I think... For some reason, I think I keep going back to that false nine position. And honestly, if we just had an extra player, if we had another player at the top of the pitch,
it would have been interesting to see if this Mason Clark would have come in, what difference it would have potentially made to us. Because he is, like, obviously, I've only seen clips of him and watched him sort of on, like, even like highlights on the EFL highlights for Peterborough. You've seen him and I've heard that he is electric. So it would have been interesting if we'd have had him to come on, say, the left of the... of the left-hand side with Hadji down the middle, etc. It would have been interesting to see how much balance to our team having two pacey players with Tats and him would have made the difference, like, in some games. Like, would we shape up differently? Would we have different personnel to what we do and play differently with him? It would be interesting to have seen, but obviously he's next year's news, so to speak, so we can't really dwell on that. But it is... I think I agree with you. We almost do have to play like a false nine, because I think Godden said, didn't he, early on in the season, that him and Ellis, they barely touch the ball. They probably they touch the ball the least in that position out of the whole team. But that's not due to lack of respect from teammates. That's how the manager wants us to play. Almost, they know they're not going to get tons of the ball. It's not what their job is to do.
It's not set up to do that.
They are just meant to be there in good positions when it does fall to them and doing nice intricate touches, and then making sure they hold the ball up when it's necessary. They don't need to be making loads of runs in behind and trying to work defenders too often. It is a simple job, but I think the problem is because they don't affect games that much from what I've watched in terms of it's not their role. Sometimes they can be a bit almost surplus to requirement in the game. They don't have a role. So when it does come to them, sometimes it's a bit like, oh, I've actually got the ball now. I need to do something with it, because they've not had it for 25 minutes before that. You know, they've not been in and around the game and got that feel for it to actually be able to impact straight away. And I think Sims is struggling with that this year. I think that's another reason why he's not adapted as much to what people thought he was going to, like, from seeing him elsewhere at Everton and Hearts and Sunderland and all these teams he's been at. He's had a lot more of the ball with the way they play, but he doesn't actually touch the ball that much, which is why when he's out wide, going back to it, he looks better because he gets a lot more of the ball and he can run at them. So I do think it's about our personnel, and hopefully he will. I do see a player in Sim still. I think he will. I think he will come good. I know people get really frustrated with him, and obviously it's not ideal that he's only scored three goals and they've pretty much... or four now, four, and they've all pretty much been tap-ins, bar his two at QPR that were still pretty much...
Well, you're talking about right place at the right time, and he scored four tap-ins. That for me has been at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, he's just poacher goals. He hasn't really scored a goal where he's created a chance and leathered it into the back of the net, so to speak. So I'm hoping he explodes kind of next season, but I still think he can be effective for us this year in both boxes, let me add to that as well, not just offensively, but defensively as well.
Let's talk about the second goal for America's answer to Darwin Núñez. He's not getting enough credit for me for this goal.
No.
I think a lot of people are saying, oh, keeper mistake and stuff.
But he catches the keeper off guard.
That's what
that's
I mean.
Why.
It's a clever finish. Like, keeper expected to go across him, right?
He said in his post-match interview, he said, when I shape up in that position, most keepers, it's like a cheat code for keepers, line themselves up ready for the across goal.
Yep.
He said, I knew he was going to do that. So when I've shaped up, I've hit it early into the corner. He said, and the reason that he's parried it and saved it that way is because I've caught him off guard, basically. Like, if he'd have been a step over, I don't even think the keeper would have made a save onto it. It would have just gone into the net. So it was like you said, he deserves a lot of credit for that, because it was a confident finish. I think Hadji no confidence or on a bad run of form, takes two or three touches and maybe does something stupid or puts it wide or doesn't slot it away. Look at the game against West Brom that time when he was in a similar position, just running more straight at goal, but full of confidence. He just smashed it into the back of the net, and the goalie obviously gets a hand to it. But like you said, it wasn't just down to, oh, bad positioning. It was down to, I just think he catches him off guard, basically, from hitting it at his near post.
Double figures now as well for Hadji. Yeah.
That's, and he's, what, is it six assists he's
five
got
assists,
now?
Five assists, ten goals, five assists, yeah.
So he's
another assist 15, for Cal today,
I think, you know. Sky Sports said earlier on, he's got 8 goals in 14 starts for us now as well.
Yeah, good numbers for the first season in a very, very tough league. And of course, it's propelled us back into the playoff picture as well.
And he's still got many more games to score many more goals in as well.
Absolutely. I think we deserved it on the balance of play. If you look at sort of the opportunities we amassed, I think it would have been difficult to say that we didn't deserve to get 3 points.
It was clear to
today.
See who the better team was, so to speak, in the game, wasn't it? You could see that we had the most quality on the pitch in regards to how we play, the positions we found ourselves in, what we were doing with the ball, how we were looking to move with the ball. Everything about our game was just a different quality to them. But it was always the worry of, if they got in front, could they just sit in and get that horrible 1-0 against you on a Sunday afternoon? But once that penalty did hit the net, I just had this feeling that we were going to go and get another goal. Part of, I think, of a few fans probably thought, are we going to go back into our shell a bit? But we don't really normally do that once we score. So it
and we wasn't really threatened, were we? Once we towards the end of the game, I didn't feel like
they made subs as well.
Yeah, I didn't feel like we were, under threat to lose that today in the end. But decent result and back in sixth place. As I say, who would you say was your man of the match?
Ole, 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 ole.
Do you know what I didn't like? When we were singing that before the penalty got taken, I thought,
everyone's
God.
Jinxing him here.
Yeah, that is a jinx.
He's doing rock, paper, scissors, shoe. Everyone's singing his name. He's going to blast it into Rose.
Because there was no fans up there in that part of the stadium, it would have took
years
to
see
the
ball go.
It took years for Stewart to get the ball back, but yeah, I agree.
Definitely,
right,
yeah.
And I think Natabrili had a good game as well. So
he was very good, especially when he went into midfield, mate, as well. Quality.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Right then, it's time for Coventry, Ross. What do you want to start with, the ins or the outs this week?
Let's go with the ins.
Okay, let's go with your in to begin with. What's your in?
Oh, it's a difficult one, mate.
Mate, I'll give you a couple of days to think about it. And you haven't got anything. Sure, you've got something.
I struggle with this stuff, Dino.
Let me give you mine, and then maybe that'll give you some inspiration.
Yeah, give me something you've
my
got.
My in is Mario Kart. I'm all in on the Mario Kart situation with the club.
I like it, but can they? How long can they keep that going for? That's my issue, if that makes sense. Like, it's going to run out of momentum at some point.
I thought you were
going to
say it's going to run out of fuel there, and I was like, no way has he come up with a car joke.
No.
He's not that clever, surely.
Oh, that's tickled me.
For me, like, just seeing the ball, I've started playing again. I've started playing again, and I'm calling the four of them out. I'm calling them all out.
Dino wants to smoke.
100%. Let's see who's got the big bollocks.
Dino, we're going to see you at Brighton soon on Unseen Bits, aren't we? And you're going to be sat there
just,
like,
what, hiding in the bushes with my Nintendo Switch?
We'll see just you doing the we'll see you doing the celebration where they lick the lips soon. Where had you go? Sure, like that one, you were getting in with all.
Oh,
the,
how cringe was that little handshake before the game between O'Hare and Milan? It's so it's like O'Hare fixes some kind of road, man. Like, he's from Solihull. Like, come on, lad.
It makes me laugh. I think it's good. It shows they've got some form of chemistry.
I do like the chemistry, and I do like the characters. The characters are great, aren't they? You can see the chemistry's building in the team. So maybe that could be you in. I don't know. Have you got one?
Yeah, we'll go with Mario Kart.
Have the same as mine.
We just spoke about them. I am a big fan of the handshakes. So I do. Okay. I do like those.
You go for like team chemistry, team bonding.
Yeah, team bonding. I know, obviously, like you said, some people see it as it's being a bit cringe and stuff. But I think you've got to think where we've come from as a football club in terms of at the start of the season where they didn't even look like they knew each other half the time. We've gone from that to now. All these sort of handshakes, scoring goals, doing things. I mean, they do about three different celebrations in one thing now. They do the teardrop one for O'Hare. They do Hadji's little one for that. Then they do the little Sue thing that they do. It's like that. They all of them do every single.
I'm not sure Milan got the memo for the Hadji celebration today. It was he was four fingers away from a whole load of trouble.
Yeah, he'd got himself.
No, the club deleted it. But
he'd have got himself into a little bit of trouble there if he'd have done four fingers, mate. But thank the Lord that it was just the one.
His other hand was in the wrong place. Let's just say he was going back to the 1940s with some kind of celebration there. But do you want to go for your out? Do you want to do your out, or do you want me to give you mine and then you can go from there?
Yeah, we'll go with yours and I'll go with mine. So I'm interested to see what you've got to throw with this.
Right, my out is just incompetence from the FA. Right, so there's a
now I know why you wanted me to save what I wanted to say earlier on. Basically.
Right, so we'll talk about the Jamie Allen thing in a second, but the first thing, I'm going to go back to Tuesday night. Right, so just the inability not to be able to stream that game. It's 2024. Every single match on a Saturday in the EFL is streamed.
I agree with that.
I know because I've worked on it. I've directed games in the EFL. Yeah. I've produced games in the EFL. Every single game.
Yeah, that is poor.
Is available, right? This competition, the FA Cup, as we're led to believe, is absolutely on its arse, right?
Yeah.
And I suppose we can see that by them being held to ransom and moving a game the next round into midweek. So it's the archaic broadcast agreements that, you know, these have a huge part to play in it. You know, to not be able to watch a replay at this stage of the competition on a stream, it's just a joke, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if people illegally stream it or whatever. Just the ability to be able to stream it. I'd have paid a tenner to watch it.
I agree with you on that one because, like you said, it's 2024. There's dodgy streams galore everywhere for pretty much every game. So how on earth we can't even get a normal stream for an FA Cup replay? And it's not like you even say if we were playing Maidstone, for example, in this game, bit understandable in terms of obviously they are a non-league team, but it's two championship teams playing against each other. Like, there's going to be people who want to watch that game of football. Do you know what I mean?
The infrastructure is literally there, built into the stadium to be able to. Get a couple of cables and put it out to feed.
It is pathetic. I agree. That's a good out. That's a good out. My out that I'm going to go for is forcing rivalries with clubs for no unnecessary
reason.
Hold
on a second. I had a second part to mine, but
go on then.
I was just about to say about the Jamie Allen situation.
Go
right?
on. Yeah,
right.
talk
to,
about
to not be able to deal with that, right? Because of the laws of the game. Again, it just screams ineptitude, like, to the people running the game in the country. There has to be some kind of leeway in place that you had to have the ability to deal with those situations. So, okay, they're one-off occasions maybe, but they're worthy of looking back at it. And just because the referee is apparently, inverted commas, click, click, dealt with the situation with a talking to and given a free kick, that should mean nothing in this regard.
I'd love to have seen that in a roles reverse situation. So let's say Kitchen does that to Barry Bannon in a league game, for example. I guarantee you that Liam Kitchen gets banned for at least three games on the look back of it, and they review
it. Matty Godden got 3-game banned for diving, and the referee gave a penalty and dealt with the situation.
And the whole game had already gone. And the best thing is that bloke played on Friday for Sheffield Wednesday. Their 2-0 win, and they were singing
his name.
Been
treated like a saint. Yeah, they were singing his name. Ridiculous.
And I just thought, this bloke's just gone and literally injured one of our players for no apparent reason. And yet he's just able to swan around freely and almost like...
And that's a tough operation to deal with as well. Like, that's like, you're going to have to eat soup basically for 2 weeks.
Yeah, big time. Like Robin said, like he tried to downplay it, but then actually said, no, it's a horrific injury.
Yeah, it's
like,
tough, yeah.
It hurts. Like, you can't do anything with your mouth. So he's injured a player's career for 6 weeks.
Maybe we need
it.
You to have that injury so you don't have to talk.
Yeah,
that
makes, maybe you should put what we'll do is we'll get Ross Cooper to put on Sky Blues Fan Talk TV that I've actually got that injury as well. So now I'm injured from talking on the pod for 6 weeks
and the
views might go up and the ratings on there for us.
Right, go on to your out.
My out.
Forcing rivalries, yeah, go on.
Forcing rivalries, mate, because look, we all love the Twitter banter. We all love that kind of stuff. But you go on Twitter now and it just gets so boring. Like, you'll just see people like... Someone actually tweeted yesterday, I can't remember who it was, like, can't wait to give Millwall like their annual thrashing and stuff. And it's just like...
Yeah, that's just bonkers.
Yeah, they're a bogey team for us. You know, I mean, before this season, we always lose to them. I remember being 2-0 up there, stood there in the den last year in August, and then Simon Moore come out and tried to catch the ball, fluffed it, and ended up losing 3-2 there. They're a proper bogey team for us. We only beat them sort of this year twice and done the double over them. So just tweets like this and doing all this kind of stuff, mate, just sometimes I just think, like, I'm all for having banter and stuff, and, you know, once the game's done and you've having the banter and stuff, but before it and just commenting stupid stuff into each other's posts
just makes us look like a bunch of twats. Some of us are, but, you know,
every fan base does, but it sometimes it is hard to agree. It is hard to not agree, with other fan bases when they tweet saying COV fans are full of whoppers, because we do have some absolute whoppers in our fan base. Like, the stuff that they just put on there, I just think, like, surely you've got to have read what you've put before actually tweeting it.
I don't think they do.
They get really in the moment, don't they? Yeah, it's almost like they get so excited about it that they're like, oh, can't wait to tweet this. And then I put the... Obviously, everyone takes the piss out of us for our hashtag PUSB, don't they? That always gets taken the mick out. Why do they put that? What's the reason behind that and all that stuff? So whenever we put something, because we always put that, it's always another thing for people to latch on. But that's my cov out, so to speak, mate, because it just annoys me. It's just a bit of a... If you were seeing a girl and she knew that you tweeted, like, to try and wind up with the fans all the time, that would give her the ick.
If she looked at your Twitter account, that would give her the ick.
My Twitter account is bad enough as it is anyway. That is ick. That's ick central. That's a non-sexy Twitter account, mate, from David Wagner. David Wagner would look at that and go...
Well, he's obviously saw your Twitter account
sexy.
And then made the comments after that, hasn't he? That's why.
Yeah, he's looked at me and he's thought, who's this pellet of a COV fan that tweets all the time? I'm gonna refer to him in my pre and post match comments.
Right, that was good. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that, mate, as well.
Nice to get stuff off our chest.
Whenever I come on, we seem to win at the minute as well. It's always quite good. I know one of the last ones I did, I think it was Leicester, I think it might have been after the Leicester game, I'm sure, and we won that. And then before, me and Matt went through that sort of good patch over the Christmas period where we were going on and winning. So,
well, hopefully the patch continues here at Plymouth on a Wednesday. City making the long journey down to the South Coast on
fair
on
play to the ones that are
100% that, Valentine's Day as well. So, some fans have been given
it.
Sold out. Yeah.
Shout out to the Sky Blue Army for that, mate. That is that on a Wednesday evening, Valentine's Day.
Some fans have got a hall pass there, haven't they?
Oh, mate, because that's the one game. We played Millwall last Valentine's Day. I remember Jokeres scored, and I remember there was barely anyone up there. And, you know, when you look around and you think...
Everyone's at Miller and Carter instead.
Yeah, I took a photo in one of the group chats that I'm in, and some lad said, look at you at the COV game, you virgin, while everyone else is out with their misses. And I just thought, that is that day, ain't it? Like, you can't actually, unless your missus goes to the football or you've got a good missus and a free pass, it is the one day that's hard really to get out of going and watching the football. So shout out to the COV fans that are going down there, because that is class support.
Yeah, 100%. Hoping to keep our obviously love affair with the playoffs alive. You like that one?
I love that one for you. That's quite good actually.
don't
tweet it though, mate. You'll definitely get some icks going on.
No chance. Nobody reads my tweets anyway, don't worry about it. What's your thoughts ahead of this one? I see this as actually a really tough game going down there.
I see it as a very, very tough game, mate. I'll be honest, because I actually said that they would do well this season, not to the point of they're going to be a real like Ipswich type team, but I knew they'd be in and around sort of 15th, 16th, and they'd stay. I think a lot of people said, oh, they'll go down, and they signed Ballymumber again. They got Morgan Whittaker permanently. I know obviously who we were linked with heavily at one point as well. Look at him, mate. Imagine if we had him in our team at this stage of the season. Do you know what I mean? And we would have got hold of him big time. He was one that Robbins probably looks at and thinks, I wish we had him in our team. But he's always a threat. When we played them at home, they were actually half decent.
In spells, they were decent, yeah.
And obviously, that was under Schumacher, though. So that was under their old manager. But their new manager they've got now is good. Obviously, they've lost players like Kundal and Finn Azaz, who have moved on to Stoke with Schumacher. And obviously, Azaz has gone to Middlesbrough, I think, permanently, didn't he? But they've also brought some young, good players in alongside them. So it's going to be a tough game, mate. Where they play is a very like enclosed, hostile ground. And they blew Norwich away 6, didn't they? They got Norwich put past them there earlier on in the season. I think it was at Plymouth. They've had some good results there this season. So we can't take that game lightly, mate. I said to my dad earlier on, the next two games, it has to be 4 points at a minimum, I would say, for us to look at it and go, good week. If we don't get 4 points, I think we'll look and go, we've missed out there going into those next two games. Obviously Stoke as well, but the Plymouth one is going to be a tricky game, mate.
I mean, they've got 3 home games come up in a row, and their home form's pretty decent. They only lost 3 times at home this season.
They're going to be looking at that and thinking, need to turn it up.
Exactly, and they've got Coventry, Leeds, and West Brom all in a row, all 3 home games, 3 of those games in 6 days. So really, they'll probably look at the state of play in the Championship and think Coventry is the one where we've got to try and take something out of, and you know, we've got to be wary of that.
Yeah, well, we only beat them 1-0 last time, and realistically, they will argue that the ball was out of play and stuff, wouldn't they? I remember in that game,
we didn't play particularly well, and maybe we got away with one on that occasion, but our luck up until that point was pretty down in the dumps. So.
Yeah, it was a nice goal. We probably got a bit of luck in terms of it could have been out, it could have been in, whatever. But they will look at it and go, if we take it to them, and they'll look at that game today, and their manager will say, if Millwall took their chances and put their foot on the foot a bit more, they could have been 2 or 3 nil up and put Coventry out of sight. And that's what they will look to do against us.
That's a bit
get
of a positive,
one of those
yeah.
early goals when we start slow. Hopefully we don't. But if we do start slow, they will look at it and go, we take and we try and get 2 or 3, and the game could be done and dusted before you know it, and giving ourselves a massive hill to climb. I hope that's not the case, and I hope we start, especially with a good sellout crowd going on a Wednesday night. You'd hope they'd have enough in them, especially the position we're in, to be geared up for that one and real give it a go from minute one. But it is going to be a hard game, mate. If we got a point, I wouldn't moan at getting
I wouldn't
there.
Moan at that, and the weather looks pretty rough as well.
So it's
going to be a tough occasion. I think it's one where we sort of really got to sort of batten down the hatches and just see what we can get away
we
with.
Want to get in and out there as quickly as we 100%. Can basically get in there, get your 3 points or a point at a minimum, and get out of there and move on.
100%. 4 games in 12 days for the Sky Blues. You've got to expect some changes going into this one.
I'm hoping the back two comes back in for that Wednesday game.
I can't see anything different than reverting back to your standard back four, Van Ivac, Thomas, Kitchen, Bidwell, especially away from home. I can't see any difference.
I agree.
I would probably see Eccles and Torp again in there, midfield.
Maybe Latte if he wants to go a bit more defensively.
Yeah.
But I think he'll probably go Eccles and Torp because he'll want to get his foot on the ball, because ultimately we are better than them. It's not we're going to Leeds away, for example, like we did earlier on in the season where he put Latte in there for reassurance. We know that we can take the game to them if we start to turn up. So I wouldn't be surprised that back four, Eccles, Torp. I'm hoping Sims, Hadji, Sakamoto.
Sakamoto might be taken out.
Yeah, maybe just play because Palmer off the right.
He's just been lacking a little bit recently.
I noticed this with him, and I think either he's maybe potentially carrying an injury that we don't know about, or he's just very, very fatigued. One of the two, because he does not look he wants the ball out wide, if that makes sense, which is not like him.
He's not getting into those positions where he was like, give me the ball,
constantly giving it to him all the time. Yeah. He keeps drifting inside a lot, I've noticed, which is taking him like out of the game, if that makes sense. There's definitely some form of fatigue or maybe a little knock that we don't know about that's being kept sort of under the hidden, so to speak, so it doesn't get blown out of proportion. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes Tats out, maybe brings him on later on in the game, puts Palmer on the right, Hadji on the left, Sims, then O'Hare in the 10 potentially.
He could even go Sims on the right and Godden up the top, you know. You just don't know what the hell Mark Robbins is going to do, do you?
He always throws surprises, mate, doesn't he? Whatever he does, mate, he'll still piss someone off. Do you know what I mean? Someone will still be annoyed with the lineup and tweet that they're not happy with it. And as long as we get a result, I'm happy there. So that's three or a point. I'll take either of them.
So you're going to give us a prediction?
I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think we're going to win 3-2.
Okay.
I think there's going to be a lot of goals. I think it's going to be a very lovey-dovey goal fest game, Dean. There's my cringeworthy line of this.
I didn't know you had that in you, so I'll give you that. I'm going to go for 1-1.
Simple.
100%. If we get out there at a point...
I just think because they score a load of goals, I just see there being a lot of goals in the game. I could be totally wrong.
I can see that.
I just think Valentine's Day, midweek, under the lights, could just be one of them games where there's a lot of goals in it, and hopefully we're the ones that come out on top of it and get a win.
Fingers crossed. Ross, thanks for your time.
And you, mate.
Evening. Really enjoyed the chat. Sky Brahmi, safe travels to Plymouth on Wednesday evening. A big thank you to listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast once again. Don't forget to keep an eye on all our socials. Just search at Sky Blues Extra. Big thanks to our sponsors at the Sky Blue Tavern. Also, we'll be back with a preview to the fixture on Saturday. But until then, play up Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.